Alrighty, praise God, praise God. Hey, we should always start with a good report. This past week, the rains came down and the flood didn't come up. Woo! So they've poured the concrete. They're getting ready. I was like, please, let's have heat on Sunday. So sit close to people. Get their body heat off of them because there's no heat in the building yet. But in Jesus' name, this Friday we will have heat. Okay, but no rain. And Luke and I were talking, not one drop of water was in this building. Whoa, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. You don't know. All righty. So Mother's Day is an important day. Father's Day is important, but maybe not so important like if you miss it with the husband about Father's Day. You know, they'll get over it, their feelings, but I want to tell you, don't miss Mother's Day. You might be in my office for marriage counseling. So I want to share three funny stories to start, get y'all in a good place, and then we're going to just go at it. But these are true stories. I have changed the name to protect the innocent, and I will probably look over here if I'm talking about you. No, I really am not. So some of these stories were told to me by the husbands, and one was by the wife. But here we go. Story number one. This husband and wife, they're all of a sudden, they find out they're pregnant with their third child, and they are going to need some more space. They're going to need some more space. So the wife goes walking around the house, and she goes to the room that's sort of, you know, sort of like the husband's little hangout room. And she goes up to him, and she goes, honey, we're going to have to convert this into a bedroom. And he says, well, what are you giving up for this pregnancy? Whoa, baby. Guys, he knew right away that that was stupid, okay? Story number two. This is a true story. So there's this young father, and he's got two little babies, and somebody walks up to him, and he says, what are you getting your wife for Mother's Day? And he says, she's not my mother. Whoa. Everybody go, whoa. Okay. That is why we do the Jimmy Evans Marriage on the Rock. Woohoo! We try to do it once a year. All right. This is my last story, and this wife told me this story, and I laughed so hard. So her husband, and who I know, is not a real detailed person. Don't raise your hand if you're one of those. And she is the detailed person, and she loves cards. She loves cards. She'll go to the aisle with the cards, and she will read them for 30-plus minutes. Until she finds a card. So the husband thought, you know what? This is Mother's Day. I'm going to go buy my wife a card because she's really into cards. And he's there 10 minutes, and he's like, yeah, this is good. I'm going to score. This is really good. So he goes home. Mother's Day rolls around, and he gives her this cute little gift and the card. And she's reading the card, and all of a sudden, she busts out laughing, like almost rolling on the floor. And he goes, wait, I didn't buy you one of those funny cards. And she points. At the bottom of the card, it said, Happy Birthday. And he said, honest, I was reading the card. I got to the happy. I didn't read the last sentence, you know. So praise God for husbands, amen, and Mother's Day. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning because you're our Father. And you had, I told somebody, you have brought us into your presence. You cleared a place for us to hop in and sit down next to you and just to receive from you. So Father, today we come to receive from you, Father. We come to draw on heaven. Father, that you would open our eyes and give us revelation that we need for our life this day and for the next couple of days and all our days. We thank you for just loving us and showing us things today. And everybody said, amen, amen. So today I'm going to talk about four things or four realities for every mom. And really the four of them are for every Christian mom, all right? The first two are for every mom. You don't necessarily have to be a Christian, a believer, but the last two are definitely unique to believing moms, moms that are walking with Jesus, all right? And you know, when I say moms, I am not just nailing it just for biological moms. We've got stepmoms in here. We've got foster moms in here. And we have a room full of spiritual moms, okay? So I'm talking to all of that and all of you. And by the way, even if you're a guy, this is still good for you. So take notes. Here we go. So Mother's Day, you know, is just can be a great day. And I just, you know, I look out here. Some of you I've known for a few years. Some of you I've known for a long time. And I just want to say thank you for being moms. Moms, and I, man, you make my job easier sometimes, so I really appreciate. But thank you for all the moms. Thank you for what you do for kids. Thank you for what you do in prayer for spirit as a spiritual mom. So we just thank you. So my first reality, first thing that is for every mom is, and you'll write this down if you're taking notes, moms stay when others go. Moms stay when others leave. So you stay and others take off, all right? And in case you didn't know, we have an epidemic of fatherlessness, not motherlessness. We have, and you're like, well, you're a woman, Pastor D, and you don't like men. Yes, I am a woman, and I like men. So that's not true. But I want to tell you, we have fatherlessness in this nation that is devastating our generations. And everybody say, but moms stay. They do. They stay. And there's something so amazing about moms. I almost think they're supernatural, not just because I am a mom, but they're just grace-filled. And when a woman becomes a mom, how many of you know they change? They have a fight in them. Anybody ever mess with a woman's babies? They'll tear your eyeballs out, okay? Don't mess with my babies. They have fight in them. There's just something that happens when that happens, okay? And moms stay when others leave. So I want to tell you a story. It's out of the Old Testament in the Bible. You can turn over there right now to 2 Samuel 21. But this is a story about a woman named Rizpah. And she is a concubine to King Saul. In case you don't know what a concubine is, they're kind of like a half wife, and they don't have all the full respect that a wife has. And what they, generally speaking, if you were a concubine to somebody, especially the kings, you were there to bear children for them. That was your purpose. And Rizpah is a concubine to King Saul. And, you know, sometimes you think, why would they do that? Well, that was just the way they did it. It was one of the ways that they would grow in power and strength. So here we have Rizpah. She is a concubine to King Saul. All right, and a lot of times also in the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament, they would name people that would just kind of tell you their story. They would name a child, and it was the reality of their life. And you want to know what her name meant? Listen to this. It meant to be broken, crushed, to be oppressed, to be discouraged, and to struggle. So guess what? Don't name your daughters Rizpah, right? Please. Don't. That's pretty sad. So here she is, the concubine to King Saul. King Saul dies. He dies, and he ends up being a pretty terrible king at the end of his reign. And he does some really terrible things to nations that God told them, don't. Don't do that. And he's done some terrible things. And because of what he did, God poured out his judgment on Israel. Now, I have to stop right here. This is Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. Everybody say, we live in a new and better covenant. So God doesn't do that. But that's the way it was. And I'm not, you know, telling you all the whys. But that's the way it was. So King Saul dies, all right? And we've got this lady called Rizpah. And now we have a new king. His name is King David. King David is starts going to the nations that King Saul had offended. And one particular nation he goes to and he says, how can I show recompense to you for what King Saul did? And listen to what they said. We want 7 of the descendants of Saul given to us so we can execute them. Again, Old Testament. Okay, stay with me, all right? And it sounds horrific, all right? And the real horror about this is Rizpah, the concubine, had 2 sons from King Saul that are his descendants, and they are part of the 7 that are taken. Her 2 sons were taken, and they were killed. And they were killed horrific and laid on top of a hill with just hanging there, where during the day the birds would come and just eat at them and the wild beasts at night. So everybody go, ooh, all right? You're all giving me that ooh face, so you can go, ooh, all righty? But I want you to hear what Rizpa did that is inside of moms. So y'all at 2 Samuel chapter, 21. Here we go. Listen to this. This is what's inside of moms. Ready? Then Rizpa, the daughter of Aiah, the mother of the two men, right, spread burlap on the rock. That means she was in mourning. You'll read that terminology all through the Old Testament. She is in mourning. And stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing their bodies during the day, and she stopped the wild animals from eating them at night. Whew. And when King David learned what Rizpa did, Saul's concubine, okay, what happens is he heard about this, and he goes and gathers her sons, the remains, and buries them in a proper burial. So, all right, I know a little intense here, but listen to this. David became aware of this woman, this mom, who stayed in overwhelming circumstances day and night to drive away these horrific things from happening, and she never left. I want to tell you, this is something incredible that's in moms. In the worst of the worst situation, okay, she is out there and pushing away and stopping these horrible things from happening until her sons got a proper burial, and they did. David grabs this, and they just get a proper burial. So you know, today in our culture, I have watched moms make some incredible sacrifices for their kids. Raise your hand if you've done that just once, at least a couple of times. And, you know, moms make these sacrifices, and not in the physical, but in the spiritual realm. We are stopping vultures and wild things from destroying and getting our kids off the plan that God has for them, all right? And there's one group that I'd like to honor today. It's the single moms. Okay, I love our single moms. We have a lot of single moms in here, some because your husband left you or whatever the reason that made you a single mom. It's totally irrelevant, because single moms, I have watched them do unbelievable sacrifices for their kids. I've watched them hold down 2 and 3 jobs as a sacrifice for their children. And, you know, through the years, I've watched some people's attendance go down. And you know, we just show up at church. But I want to tell you, I have watched single moms come to church every time the doors open. They make sure their kid is here in children's church and youth group night. They go to every one of those concerts that could put me to sleep, and the shows and the baseball games, and they go to work. And I have looked at them when they come through the doors, and they look exhausted. They just look exhausted, all right? So I want to say to all you single moms is, I know you're paying the price right now here. And listen, I can remember having 2 parents, Jack and I raising 2 kids, and there was still tough. And when I look at single moms, I want to tell you, we are thrilled that you are here at YCF. We call you our church family. We are glad that you show up all the time and you get your kids, and we honor you. We celebrate you. We stand with you. We encourage you. We will be there. And I just want to say thank you that you fight the good fight for your kids. We love you. Telling you what. You're just amazing. And I know, especially single moms, you know, sometimes it feels like this is never going to end. Walking and laying down, sacrificing, and just this overwhelmingness, okay? I just want to encourage you, moms, but especially single moms. Some wise old woman once told me, Diane, as a matter of fact, she said, the days are short, Dee, but the days are long, but the years are short. And I would call this wonderful lady up in the midst of being overwhelmed with what was going on in my life and my children's life. And she'd just say, hey, it may feel like forever. And then she would say, you are doing something amazing. Your sacrifice is amazing. And your kids will be the beneficiary of what comes down the road. And she just would say, don't give up. Don't give up. So don't give up. Praise the Lord. So again, we just honor all the single moms. I am, you know, YCF, we pray for you. We just love you so, so much. Amen. All right. So moving right along, the next three things or realities about moms are found in the book of Psalms. So if you want to open up to Psalm 61, the next three, this is where I'm going to take these from. Psalm 61, and I'm going to read this to you. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know what this scripture tells you? It tells us that what to do when your heart is overwhelmed. And I'm talking to moms, but this is anybody who's alive on the planet. This is telling you what to do when your heart is just overwhelmed, okay? So the second reality, if you're taking notes, is your heart's going to be overwhelmed as a parent, as a mom especially. And again, if you are a mom, if you're a parent, there's going to come a day that you are just going to be overwhelmed with what's going on in life, okay? And I found out life is not perfect. The earth is cursed. I'm not perfect. My kids certainly aren't perfect. And I want to tell you, I ran into some difficulties. I still run into them, okay? And I don't know about you, but when you have kids, you don't want them to go through any of those difficulties. You don't want them to have any of those sorrows. That's what moms, you do. You don't want to have them have any of those battles. But guess what? You're living on this planet. That's not a reality. They're going to run into things, okay? They're going to run into, shoo, baby. Well, let me just say, your kids, as blessed and wonderful they are, will cause your heart sometimes to have pain, all right? So the greatest joy that I found was having kids, but I want to tell you the greatest suffering that caused gray hair in my head was those same children, all right? So I want to tell you a story, and y'all know, everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. Okay, here's this father, he's got two sons, and the youngest one comes storming in one day, and he says, hey, Dad, give me my part of the inheritance. So he gives the father's fortune, his half, to this kid, this young man, and he goes off, and the Bible says that he lived a riotous life. Translation today, drugs, alcohol, and prostitution. That's probably what it meant today, all right? And then this young man, after he goes and just blows all this money, comes to himself, and he's like, man, I am not worthy to be my father's son because of this junk that I've done. I'm not worthy for that, but I'm going to go, and I'm just going to ask him if I could be at least an employee. So he goes, he's in his mind, he's going to go to his dad because he's not worthy to be a son for the shame of what he did, and he's just going to beg him for a job. And the Bible says, as this young man was coming maybe a mile away, the father had been standing at the end of the road watching for him, right? The father had been standing there watching for him, and as soon as he saw him, he had this compassion. He runs up, and you know the rest of the story. He's returned to sonship. So that word compassion, you know, what do you think of when someone, the father had compassion? He's like, you know, when we say compassion, I usually thinking, well, I'm empathetic, or I have sympathy, or my heart really goes out for that person. But that word, that is true. But I want to tell you what else that word compassion means. It means to join willfully together with somebody's suffering. You grab their suffering to you. Man, You will see that over and over in the Bible where Jesus was moved with compassion. That's what he did. He left heaven, number one, compassion. I wouldn't have left. It's perfect up there. He left because of compassion for you and I. And then it talks about he was moved with the feelings of our infirmities. So talk about compassion. That's who our Savior is. So number two reality is your heart's going to be overwhelmed from your kids or for your kids. And, you know, you just don't watch them and go, oh, they're having this difficulty. You feel their pain. I'm going to tell a story on you. So one day, Sherry, she had finished the little kids' soccer. And, you know, all boys and girls were all thrown on the same team. Good, bad, ugly, fat, skinny, it didn't matter. Everybody got to play. It's just so cute. But then I forgot what grade it is. You had to, tryout. Tryout. And you had to try out against the boys, too. So Sherry's like, I'm going to go try out. And she walks up. I remember the steps. The stairs. And she sees this field full of all boys and one other girl. And I see this pain in her face. This fear. She's trembling. And I am hurting. But the good mama says, go ahead and do it. And I walked away. And I'm crying down the stairs. Because I know, not my most athletic person, but pretty. We got pretty on the team, right? Okay. So she didn't make the team, all righty. But I can remember just the pain in her eyes, the fear in her eyes. And I'm crying. I'm feeling her pain. That's what mamas do. You feel their pain, all right? So number two, your heart is going to be overwhelmed and you're going to feel the pain. So I have another story for you, Tail. This is a true story. These two guys grew up together in the same town. They were good friends. And one of the guys became a doctor. And he ended up by being a doctor. He took a job in this real rural community. Like, you are the only doctor for 100 miles, okay? Part of that reason is because he was going to get paid a lot more to pay off his medical debt. But his best friend became a pastor. So we got the doctor and the pastor. And the doctor, the pastor friend, they stayed friends, came to visit him for the week. So they're just hanging out for the weekend. They go to bed that night, and the doctor gets a phone call like 2 a.m. in the morning, and it's from the police station that there has been a double murder, and the doctor needed to go down to the jail, whatever you call it. And so the pastor friend says, I'm coming with you. Okay, so they both go into this room, and this room is packed with people. And this is my pastor friend's description of what happened. He said, this room is full of people. I can see the man who in handcuffs over here, but I am looking at the faces of everybody in this room. And you could almost see and taste the tangible hate for this man over here, for what he did. And the pastor says, so I'm looking at these faces, and all of a sudden, I see this one face. And then it's not full of hate. It is sorrow. And he said, I knew that was the mom. The mom of the man who murdered these people. So guys, moms, you know, we feel the pain more than anybody. But hang with me. I have a good happy ending on this. So keep smile. Fake it. Smile. Okay. So number two, your heart is going to be overwhelmed. All righty. Here's the third one. We're moving to the happy places. All right. Third one. This is unique to people that are believers, that have received Jesus, that are walking with Jesus. This is what makes Christian moms unique. Write this down. You are a rock to your kids, but you are not the rock. And I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson. Some of you, where are you? But moms, you are a rock to your child, but you are not the rock. Everybody say, I'm not the rock. Because we just read, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And listen, I remember when my babies were little and I thought of the worst sorrow and pain was sleep deprivation. and the cost of diapers, okay? But as my kids got older and they were making decisions in life, man, I want to tell you, I felt like my heart was being torn in two sometimes because of this, okay? So your heart is going to be overwhelmed, okay? And that's why the author of, it's actually King David wrote, hear my cry, O Lord, and lead me to the rock, all right? So moms, you got to understand this praise God. You are not to be God to your kid. You are not to be God to your kid. And you have to know your limits. And that's why, what is it? 1 Peter? I'm going to read it because I forgot the whole thing. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, casting all your care, all your anxieties about your kids, all your worries about your kids, all your concerns about your kids, once and for all on him. So you have to know that you're not God and that you have to do that stuff, all right? So when your heart's overwhelmed, your job as a mom is not to be the rock. Your job as a mom is not to solve all your kids' problems. Your job as a mom is not to micromanage them, especially when they're teenagers, and for heaven's sakes, when they're adults, okay? Now, I have to back up a little bit. When your kids are little, guess who has authority and influence over them? Parents, God says you have authority and influence on them, and you're called and commanded to train them up. So when they're little, you go do that. Man, I don't know why I ever complained when I'd put the gates up all over the house and I'd just go, y'all have to stay here, okay? But listen, there's going to come a time you got to take the gates down. And there's a point where you can't do that for your kids. And you have to lead them to the rock that is higher than yourself. Point number four. The biggest thing that moms, believing moms, must do is to lead your kids to the rock that is higher than you. Amen? So turn over to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. This is the rock that's higher. Ready? God is our refuge. Everybody say refuge.
Refuge.
And say strength. A very present what? Help in trouble, okay? So moms, you have to understand that you cannot be there 24/7. You cannot be with your kid every moment of the day. You cannot solve all their problems. You cannot fix the things that are going on in the inside of them. Amen? Okay, and you might be here today and your heart is overwhelmed. Your heart is overwhelmed so often, especially on Mother's Day, there are mothers who just connect this day with a big, big sorrow, all right? Sometimes that sorrow and that pain, because it's Mother's Day, is because where your kids are at right now, what your kids are facing, and you just feel this pain. And the other one is it could be because of regret. Right? I wish I would have done it this way. I should have, okay? And then, so you have these pains and sorrows. And listen, every one of us can live in the valley of regret. Just about 2 months ago, I watched a podcast on John and Lisa Bevere, Messenger International. You should watch it. It was 2 days of them talking about parenting. Now, I'm a grandma. I'm glad to be a grandma, but I thought I better listen to this. So I watched 2 evenings of this, and they were talking about how they parented their kids. And then they had their kids, who now have kids, and they're telling it. And I, at the end of that second day, it was the next morning on the third day, Sherry comes in the office, and I said, I just want to apologize. I was not a good parent. I did stupid stuff. I allowed that. And the sweet kid, Ma, you know that, Ma, you are wonderful. Listen, I could lay, we'll all have, if you are a day older, you're a little smarter, so you can sit and regret, but don't stay there long, okay? And you know what I hear parents say all the time? Well, at least I prayed for them. Amen? Anybody ever say, at least I pray for them? But this is what I have to say for you today. No, that is not the least that you did, because there is nobody, No one on the planet that will take their kids to the Lord in faith, in prayer, and stand and not leave than you. You are amazing. You are important. You are tremendous. Matter of fact, and as a parent, as moms, even dads, everybody, you know, this is the simple prayer. Father God, lead my child to people, and heal their hearts as they mess up too, but lead them to people that will lead them to the rock that is higher than I. That's our prayer. That's our prayer, okay? And, you know, sometimes I just go, God, you can't love my kid more than I do. Like, that's just no way. But listen, he does. He loves your kids more than you do, and he does it just in just amazing ways. So that is why I pray. That is why I try to parent the best that I can, and that is why I and you must lead your kid, children, even grandchildren, to the rock that is higher than you. Amen? Because I'm telling you, when they find that rock, and they are going to hit storms, and they are going to hit problems, and they're going to do some dumb stuff too, right? Okay, but when they find that rock, they will stand on a firm foundation. That's what we just read. They will have a fortress that is around them, because that's what God does. He is faithful. Amen? Everybody say, he's the rock that I lead my kids to. Okay. So I hear this a lot. Okay, Pastor D, I'm not going to go in the regret, and I'm going to pray for my kids. But what happens when you don't have influence in your kids anymore, okay? What happens if you've had, they're just out of your life. Your kids are out of your life. There could be a big riff, or they could be there and they're just not doing anything that you're telling them to, okay? What do you do, all right? And your heart is overwhelmed. I'll tell you what you do. You trust God. Everybody say, trust God. And you pray, and you go into my bookstore, or your bookstore, and you walk in that-a-way, and on the back corner on the right, there's a whole bunch of books on how to pray. And I didn't know how to pray. I mean, I came out of a denomination. We had three prayers: the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, and the Hail Mary. So you talk about I have babies, I knew what to pray. I certainly didn't, but someone gave me a book, Prayers That Availeth Much. How many of you have ever read that book? And it was fill in the blank with your kid's name. I was like, okay, they got the prayer, all right? So listen, trust God, learn how to pray. And then, everybody say teenagers are wonderful. They are so sweet. Y'all laughing. How many remember being a teenager? Some things I still haven't, I just never tell my kids, okay. But my kids all became teenagers. Praise God. They grew, you know, okay. And certain ones that are not here, okay, really brought me to overwhelming pain in my life. The things that they had chosen to do. What are you kidding? You're the pastor's kid, okay. Just broke my heart. And I had a lady in the church, Anne. She must have seen that face. Have you ever seen somebody's face that you just like, they're not doing good? You know, I may not have been crying, but it's just this pain in my life watching my kids just make some poor choices in their life. So Ann tapped me on the shoulder and she said, Dee, I have a group of ladies that get together once a week to pray. Now, up until that point, I don't join no ladies groups. Y'all gossip, backstabbers, no. Because I was one, all right? Okay. At that moment, at the lowest of my lows, Ann could see it, and she just, she asked me a bunch of times. She said, so I showed up at this Moms in Prayer, Moms in Touch, Moms in Prayer. There's still, it's an international group. Look it up later. Moms in Touch. They've changed it to Moms in Prayer, okay? So it's international, and they get moms together, and we pray about our kids, and we pray about our schools, and we pray about our kids, and we pray about the school, and we pray about our kids. And I prayed with these ladies from different denominations that I used to not say pretty things about, okay, because I'm getting smarter. And I prayed with them for almost 3 years, and we prayed our kids out of high school. Let me tell you what. And we cried together, prayed together, and to this day, two of those ladies, well, really all four of them, I could call them up today
And they were faithful people to pray. No judgment on what dumb things our kids were doing, okay? All right, so learn how to pray. I say all of that. And if anybody wants to start a group at our church, come and see me. First go online and look it up. It is so easy, so easy. Praise the Lord. All right, let me tell you what else makes moms incredible. Moms, you are the ones that will stop. Everybody say stop. The generation of pain that has probably plagued your family tree. Raise your hand if you're a first generation Christian in your family. I am. Since that, I watched many of mine. But listen, not only first generation, but all of you, you will stop the destruction in your family tree. Because you pray, okay? And because of that, your kids will not endure some of the problems, or they'll make it through the problems. And your grandkids, because you will stop and you will pray and you will be moms that never give up, your grandkids will leave a better life. You are leaving a great inheritance. So moms, you are amazing. I'm talking to spiritual moms. I'm talking to biological foster moms. I'm talking to all of you, all right? So listen, that's what moms do. They stop the pain, all righty? They stop the pain. And there are some battles that, you know, we are thrown into that are long. I'm still battling one 30 years later, all right? I may never see the results in this lifetime, but God is the rock and God is faithful. So, you know, let's go to the rock that's higher than us. Amen? Amen? One more story. So I knew this woman and her children, but I didn't know her history. And it was probably about three years ago. I'm going to call this lady Sue. She's not in our church, okay? So it's not you, okay? But Sue was a young mom, and her husband walked out on her with three little kids under the age of six. Abandoned her. And she also grew up without a father. Her dad died when she was just an infant, okay? So she's thinking, oh my gosh, this is another generation of fatherlessness, all right? This is a true story. And so her heart's broken. She's overwhelmed. She's got three little kids. She is now in poverty and an abandonment. And she makes a decision. Guess what? Go to the rock that is higher than I. And because she went to the rock, what she did is she asked Jesus to come into her life to be her Lord and Savior. And she got to... And it was a long, hard rock road. Let me tell you, it was a long road. But she watched all her children receive Jesus. And this day, her son is a missionary in Thailand. Her two daughters are serving the Lord. They're married. She's got grandkids, okay? But I am sure in the devastation and the overwhelmingness of her heart, she never thought what this would have brought. Children. And children and children. And she wasn't just a mom that was praying for her kids or a mom that was praying for her grandkids. She became a mom to moms. She became a mom, a spiritual mom to moms. And let me tell you, the effect is just still going. It's still going, all right? So if I could just encourage and just leave one big thing for all my moms is you are the one that will fight the battles. Better than anybody else. You are the one that will stay and not quit. You are the one that just is there. And you are also the one whose heart will be overwhelmed. And sometimes it'll feel like you're being crushed. But listen, you get to lead them to the rock that is higher than you. And this applies to everybody in this room, okay? You get to lead people to Jesus Christ, the rock that is higher than anybody else, that is it's just amazing, and I think of this woman, Sue, that I told you about, and just the multiplying effect of that one decision that mom made at the worst of her life, and here it is, it's gosh, it's probably 40 years later, cruising 50, and there are people that know the Lord Jesus, and she prays for it. So that's amazing. So all you moms, all you dads, number one, put the Lord first. Number two, lead them to the rock that is higher than you. Amen? Amen. So I want to pray for everybody, all right? I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for our moms first and then families. I'm going to ask my worship team to come up. Praise God. The service isn't over, okay? We're going to worship together. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just do what he does so powerfully in here. But first, I also want to make sure that I give you all an opportunity to give your life to the one who's the rock, to give your life to Jesus, okay? So we're going to pray for moms and families, and then I'm going to pray for those that would like to receive Jesus, and then we're going to worship together at the end of this, okay? So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Praise God. Father, we thank you for all the moms. All the moms, Mom. We thank you for those that are watching online. We thank you for those that couldn't come because it's such a painful day. And Lord, we pray that you would be the comfort like no one else could comfort. And you would be their strength because no one else could strengthen them like that. We thank you. And Father, I just pray for all the families. I pray for every child and grandparent and aunts and uncles here, Father. I pray that you would surround them with people that would lead them to the rock that is higher than I. That they would know the ever-present help in times of trouble, that you would be a refuge and a strong tower throughout their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, with everybody's eyes closed, just reverence to God, right? Just, you know, no moving around. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus personally, you have not asked him. Because he's a gentleman, you have to ask. You have not asked him to come into your life. Listen to me, I'm not asking if you're a good person. Hope you are, but I'm not asking that. And I'm not asking if you're a member of church and go to church. I love church. I'm big on church. I am the big fan of church, okay? But church won't make you a Christian, all right? Church is good, but it won't make you a Christian. And maybe you'd say, well, Pastor D, I was baptized as a baby. Well, that's wonderful, and that's probably a real reverent thing here, but that won't make you a Christian, okay? So church won't make you a Christian. No good works, no sacraments like baptism will make you a Christian. The only thing is receiving Jesus into your life, that you become a child of God, that you have a new relationship, that you have eternal life. And Jesus said very emphatically, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And he said that he paid a debt that you and I were supposed to pay, that he offered up his life for us as a ransom for us. That's what he did. And he was the sacrifice. And the wrath of God should have been on us, but he took it. Okay, so today I want to give everybody an opportunity. If you've not received Jesus, and because the scripture says, whoever asks will receive, and he will turn no man away, and he will be come into your life, and he will be your Savior. He will wash your sins away. He will give you a new life, eternal life. So today, perhaps that's you, or maybe you did that a long time ago, and you've just kind of pushed or drifted or pushed God away, and you need your relationship restored. So if that's you, if you'd like to accept Jesus, or you'd like to have this new, restored, comeback moment, I'd like to pray for everybody here, if that's you. And I promise you, I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. So that I can pray for you. And listen, this, nobody's looking around, no one, you know, this is between you and God. Okay, I just happen to be the MC person, but this is between you and God. So if you're here today and you would like to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not sure if you ever did it, or maybe you've just been far and you know it's time to come home, I want to pray for you, all right? So if that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to come home. I've I know I've just been away. Okay, I see those hands. You can put them down. I see those hands. Thank you. God bless you. You put the hands down. I see your hands. You can put it down. Okay, so if you raise your hand, I want you to pray this out loud along with me. But everybody is going to pray this, okay? But the thing is, you need to pray it from your heart. You know, you need to pray from your heart and out loud, all right? So everybody say with me. So again, if you would like to receive Jesus, or you've just been far from him and you know you've just drifted and you're like, I'm tired, I'm coming back. You all pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for me, for my sin. He paid the debt for me. And right now, I open my heart and I ask you to come in. I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you. My sins are wiped away. I'm now a child of God. I'm heaven bound and I have a new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody look at me for a minute. If you prayed that prayer, either to receive Jesus for the first time or to come back, that is the best decision you'll ever make. Not what you're going to eat this afternoon. I'm telling you, that's the best decision. Amen. We're just so thankful. Your life to be in Christ is just so wonderful. So I'm going to have my altar ministers come up. If you prayed that for the first time, or you're just coming back, I have altar ministers that we want to put a Bible in your hand, the best book, the most important book, and we've got some little materials. Or you want to come up and just say, hey, Pastor D, you know, or altar ministers, you know, just agree with me. We're going to pray for you. But why don't you all stand? We're going to sing this song together. Amen. Amen.
So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Praise God. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that it goes with us because you live inside of us. Father, I bless these people, your people, Father, to live big, to shine bright, and to lead those to the higher place, the higher one. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day. Bookstore, open. Go get a book. Amen. If you would like prayer, we're up here for you. Amen.